Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, I should say. How are you all doing? Good, good. My name is, as Chris has introduced me, my name is Reverend Christopher Rose. I'm from Chatsworth Baptist Church, and there are a few faces whom I know, and I feel welcomed here. I meet with your pastor on a regular basis. We've had good conversations. So he says he always speaks highly of his church. So I feel very welcomed, and I'm glad to be here. So thank you. Thank you to Chris. I went to Chris's school. We've been knowing each other for a long time. And yes, we're rivals on the football pitch. Might I add, Chatsworth won the cup this year. It's one of a bit of bragging rights. Well, it's good to be here. We're going to spend about 5 minutes. You're going to talk to your neighbor for a bit, if you'll humor me. You're going to talk to your neighbor. I want to ask you 3 questions. I'm going to give you about a minute or two on each question. And the first question is this. Have you ever felt that your prayers were unanswered or that God seemed distant? If so, how did that experience impact your faith? Please, I'll say it again. Have you ever felt that your prayers were unanswered and that God seemed distant? How did that experience impact your faith? All right, as you continue your conversation, so the next question, how do you reconcile the reality of suffering in the world with the belief in a loving and powerful God? How do you put those two things together? How do you reconcile the reality of suffering in the world with the belief in a loving and powerful God? That's a long one. You can continue to discuss these afterwards. And the last question I want to ask you, what would it look like to approach God with complete honesty, even in the midst of your hardest questions? What would it look like to approach God with complete honesty, even in the midst of your hardest questions? Amen. Thank you. Let's come back. Before I go into the sermon, I want to share with you a bit of my personal testimony. So, my wife and my children are unable to be here, but I'm married. I have 3 children, 3 young boys, ages 5, 3, and 2. I don't sleep much, and I take all my energy. So in September, I would be married 10 years. So, but before the kids came, there was a time when it was just me and my wife, and she wanted to have a baby. We both wanted to have a baby. And it just didn't happen as quick as we would have thought. So we're doing all the right things, I think. But it's not happening. And then my wife started to get really upset by it. So I just did what any good husband could do, is I had to go to God. I said, Lord, come on. I need your help here now. So I did a season of praying and fasting, more than I have ever done before. And my prayer and fast was sort of, I want to seek you, Lord. My heart is that you give us the child, I really want us, you to give us the child. And if we're not going to have a child, please prepare us for that. So I wanted to seek God. So I prayed and fasted for a month, and it was difficult. Near the end of the month, I felt God put in my presence, in my heart, Chris, it is already done. I felt God put it in my heart. So much so, I put it on my iPhone, I put it on Notepad, and I said this message. I said, Trish, that's my wife's name, Trish, you are already pregnant. You just don't know it yet. And I put it in a notepad so that, you can see what date and time it was. And I left it there. Church, a week later, Trish comes running into the bedroom with a pregnancy stick. Chris, I'm pregnant, I'm pregnant. And I was all smug. I was like, I knew. I already knew. And I showed her the text. And we laughed. We rejoiced. Can you imagine how happy I was? Like, Lord, I prayed and I fasted. And you told me it's already done. And a week later, it was. So we're just happy. And I'm waiting to get to the point of a certain amount of weeks when you can start telling people. So we told a few people, but waiting where we can start telling more people. And I can't wait for the testimony that is to follow. I can't wait to be telling everyone, this is what prayer and fasting does, and this is the power of God, and look how faithful God is. I'm just waiting for that. And in a moment came, I remember this, because Black Panther just came out, the first movie. And I went out to with my friends to watch it. My wife was at home on a Friday night. And I got a phone call. Chris, something is wrong. Something's happening. And I said, well, she said, I think I'm losing the baby. So I rushed back. I drove. I think I beat every single speed and limit from Greenwich all the way back home to West Norwood. And what was waiting for me was something that I will never forget. So my wife was in the bathroom. Funny enough, the light has blown. The light blew, so my wife couldn't see anything. But she's on the phone to the hospital, and I came in, and I could see everything because I had my torch and I sorted the light. And what I saw was just tragic. I saw the baby just hanging from my wife, early at 16 weeks. A lot of blood in the bathroom, and it was traumatizing. It was terrible. We had lost the baby. So we rushed to the hospital and everything, and we were both in tears. And I could tell you, church, I've been a Christian all my life, but I was like, Lord, what happened? What happened? I remember saying to myself, Lord, I believed in you, and you let me down. Now, church, I know I'm not the only one who have been through things, who have prayed, have gone through stuff, and felt that in their heart, Lord, you let me down here. You prayed for healing for someone, or you wanted someone to get through something, or something happened in your life, and you just felt like the Lord has let you down. And that's how I felt. I felt disappointed. I felt frustrated with God. And the question is, how can we still have an authentic relationship with God whilst going through suffering and whilst in pain? How can we still have an authentic relationship? How can we still worship? How can we come to church when you just don't feel like it? When you're singing praises, Lord, you are good all the time. What do I say? The Lord is good. And says, oh, all the time. But actually, sometimes I don't feel that the Lord is good today. I don't feel like the Lord is good in my situation. How do we come to church? How do we still worship? How do we still have an authentic relationship? Whilst we think about that, I want to read a scripture for you. It's a pretty long one, but please bear with me. And the scripture is found in Psalms 118. And it says this, Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night, I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all of your waves. Lord, you have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. So why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me my friend and my neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Amen. This is scripture. This scripture actually encouraged me in my time. This scripture was written by someone who was angry, who was disappointed with God and God's lack of action. And they expressed how they truly felt. They said, Lord, you let me down. Church, this is an example of lamenting. This scripture is an example of lamenting. And that is what I want to speak about today. Lamenting. Let us explore what it means to lament. So what does lament mean? Lament means to cry out to God. To express sorrow, mourning, regret, and pain. That's what lament means. Lament means to cry out to God, to express sorrow, mourning, regret, and pain. We all feel like that sometimes. And it's important we express that to God. Lament is a process. Sometimes we can focus too much on the outcome, but ignore the process. So when you go through hurt and pain, let's be honest, you just want to get better. I just don't want to feel like this no more. But what lamenting does, it says, you know what? Focus on the process. It's not about the destination. God's going to walk with you through the process. Especially when we go through suffering, whether it be grief, depression, or any hard times, we want to focus on the end goal, which is to get over it and to feel better. We want to get to the other side of our trauma. But the process is where there is transformation. The process is where you get to ask questions and conversations and can make you have a deeper encounter with God and ourselves. Lamenting is that process. To lament is to release. It's to release. We live in a broken world. I love the song you chose today, Chris. The one just before I came on. Pain is there. So much pain in the world, but grace is more. So much death in the world, but life. There's more life. Beautiful song. But we live in a broken world. The weight of sin and loss, we feel it on every single level. And God knows that we need a way to release that pain, or it can overwhelm us. Have you ever sat down and thought about all the pain and suffering that goes on in the world? It can consume your mind. So God gives us something where we can release. So his gift to us in times of pain and suffering is lamenting. It's a gift. I want you guys to think of a pressure cooker. all of that steam that builds up, ready to explode. But you know that valve at the top of the pressure cooker where you open it up? That's lamenting. That's you releasing the pressure and the pain and the hurt. When you lament, you release it. It allows you to rest in that heavenly safe space. So let me tell you some quotes on lamenting. Aubrey Sampson said this: lament is the honest, humble, and faith-filled articulation of pain, sorrow, or grief in God's presence. The writer N.T. Wright says this: lament is not simply an outlet for frustration, sorrow, loneliness, and sheer inability to understand what is happening or why. It is the mystery of the biblical story is that God also laments. That's powerful. That God laments over this world. So when we lament, we share in God's lament. Because God is unhappy. God is sad. And we get to join him in being frustrated with how the world is. C.S. Lewis wrote this, the famous author, one of my favorite writers, after the death of his wife. He said this: where is God? Go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face. That's what he wrote in his book. But much later in the book, he writes this: you can't see anything properly while your eyes are blurred with tears. As the fog of grief lifts, I see that God's presence was there all along. Even when it felt absent, God was there. So lamenting gave him a way to be brutally honest with God. And then it was part of his journey, which eventually led to a renewed hope. Are you with me, church? Lamenting is powerful. Lamenting is biblical. Moses laments. Elijah laments. Jonah laments. Job laments. Jeremiah laments. David laments. Hannah laments. Mary laments. Martha laments. Jesus laments. So we should not be afraid to be real with God, despite our pain and our suffering, despite our hurt and our anger. We should be able to be real with God and go to God and be honest. I want to talk to you about the importance of lamenting and actually what happens when you don't lament. Because we can live in a culture where, oh no, I can't do that. I can't say that. I can't be real with God. So I want to tell you what happens when we don't be real with God. The first thing we'd often do is we can go through to denial. Sometimes people deny their feelings and they're going to rejoice always. I am trusting in God, but behind the scenes, they are broken. Unable to find a place to be honest about their pain and struggle. I have personally seen people in the midst of tragedy and they deny it. Went through something where a family had lost their daughter violently on all of a sudden. And I went to the house to visit. And I went to speak to the father and the mother. And the father was, Lord is good. It's all right. This is his plan. I trust in the Lord, regardless. And he was saying all the right things that you'd expect a good Christian person to say. I looked over at the mother. And she wasn't there. And I can see that she also had to sort of just try and agree with her husband. So she held it in. And I can see that she was hurting. And she wanted to say some other things. But he was sort of just saying, God is good. It's all right. I'm just going to focus on how good God is. She's with the Lord. All of the stuff that we know is true. But at that time, I wanted to shake him and be like, be real. Your wife needs you to be real. to let it out. You don't have to front to me and you don't have to front to God. So some people just get stuck in denial and say the Lord is good all the time. Everything's bad, but the Lord is good all the time. The next thing people can go to is they can go through despair. If I have these thoughts of anger towards God, if I have these feelings towards God, I must not be a Christian. Everyone seems so happy, yet my heart is so full of anger. So to be frank, I don't like God, so I must not be saved. Sometimes people feel like that. I must not be a Christian because there's no way a true Christian would think like this. That is wrong. And that can lead you to despair because you feel like the Lord can't save you or the Lord isn't saved you. The third thing that happens, that can happen, is busyness. When something happens and we don't lament, we just keep being busy. People cope by distracting themselves from the pain. They keep themselves busy. They'll leave no room to stop and think. I can't think. If I think, I might cry. So I've just got to keep myself busy. They throw themselves into projects at work. Now, I know when my father died, I remember a sudden urge to paint the living room. Church, I don't paint. I've never painted. But I had this urge to just paint the living room. To be honest, I think I was trying to keep myself busy. I didn't want to deal with some of the stuff. But the problem is, eventually, keeping yourself busy would put you in a place of burnout. You could end up having unresolved issues which can hide under the surface, poisoning your life. So keeping yourself busy is not a long-term solution. The other thing that happens, I want to talk about this, is misplaced anger. Sometimes people do not know where to place their anger. They're really angry at God, but no, they can't express it to God. So it comes out to people around them. Someone loses their spouse, and without realizing it, they're taking out their anger on their children or their friends. Most family disagreements and breakdowns happen after a loved one has been lost. I've done enough funerals and spoke to a lot of families, and there's always disputes after funerals. Why? Because they have anger, and they don't know where to put it, so they put it at each other. So misplaced anger is something that we've got to be careful of. And the fifth one is withdrawal. Sometimes we feel that we cannot feel anger and frustration with God and we can't praise Him at the same time. So we feel like, how can I be angry and praise Him at the same time? That's too much of a dissonance. That's too much. I can't deal with that. So they just withdraw. I won't bother come church. I don't feel in the right place to come church right now. I can't serve Him and dislike Him at the same time. So they withdraw. There are many people who stop coming to church, not because they don't love the Lord, not because they don't love church. They just feel like they can't hold the two things in their hand at the same time. If you have ever felt like this or some of these things that I've mentioned, don't feel bad because we've all been there. Am I right? We've all been somewhere along this spectrum. And when we're at our lowest points in life, we just do what we need to survive. I just want to survive. But the Bible clearly presents a way to express our grief, our pain, our anger towards God. We must be real with God. We must learn to lament. Tell Him our troubles. Tell Him our pain. My objective this morning, this afternoon, is to tell you, to give you permission, to give you a biblical basis and a framework to lament. Don't hold your pain and your suffering in. Meet with God. Talk with God. So how do we lament? How? Okay, I hear you, Chris. You're talking about the importance of lamenting. I hear you, Reverend Chris, whatever. I hear you. But how do we do this now? How do we roll with this? So I want to tell you, there are four ways that you can lament. Mark Regrop says this, when grief and sadness strike, believers need to know how to talk to God about their sorrow. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. And there is grace available to those who learn how to pray their way through the pain. And the four steps are this. Turn to God, appeal, ask questions, and trust. Okay, I'll say it again. One, turn to God. Two, appeal. Three, ask questions. And four, trust. So turn to God. In the scripture, we look at what it says. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I want you to turn to God, to face him, intentionally seek him, intentionally turn into God, seeking him. Don't worry about your tone. Don't worry about anything. Just cry to him. This is the first step, and it's a hard one, but making that choice to turn to God in your pain is what we see in the scripture that we read earlier. It takes faith to make the choice to turn to God. When all of our instincts tells us to turn away and seek other things, it is important that you turn to God, even in your anger. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you with this, even though this is hard. Lord, we're going to have a hard conversation today. And even this, even though I may not like you right now, God, I'm still coming to you. Can we be bold enough to say that? As I said, number two, appeal. Now that you're talking to God, be honest. Bring him your complaint. Be honest. Don't minimize. Don't avoid. Tell him, Lord, are you serious? The scripture said, I am overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. You have taken from me my closest friends. You have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. That's what the scripture we read earlier said. He's complaining. He's appealing. We can be real with God even if we're angry with him. How many of us had gone through hardships and thought to God, you did this, you brought me here, you gave me the husband that's causing me grief, you gave me the sickness that has stopped me from living, you told me to follow this career, but now I have no job and no money, you took my child away, you gave my loved one cancer. Church, we don't need to hide our feelings from him, no matter how negative or rude they are. God can handle them. God is strong, you know. He can handle what you've got to throw at him. And most importantly, he wants a relationship with you. Not a fake one. Not one that is like, oh, I want to come to you smiling. He wants a real one. To say, God, he doesn't want a fake one that says, oh, you're the greatest when deep down you don't like him. He wants a real relationship. How can we have authentic worship if we don't have authentic relationship? So be real with God. Any relationship, any marriage, any friendship that is based on authentic relationship, that's a good one. Amen? When you can tell your friends, you know, your breath doesn't smell well this today. Those are your good friends that can tell you the truth. Well, you annoyed me yesterday when you said that. You know, that was a real relationship. God wants the same thing. He wants to be real with you. And the third thing, ask questions. The scripture says, why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? That's a question. Why, Lord? We have questions. Why did you allow this to happen? Why did you take my son away? Why did you allow me to have cancer? All of those are questions. Deep questions lead to deep conversations. Deep conversations lead to deeper relationship with God. Don't be afraid to ask God those deep questions. And the last bit is trust. When you bring your pain to God, you acknowledge that He is our refuge. It affirms His goodness, His sovereignty, and His faithfulness. In the scripture we read, it said, "But I cry to you, Lord, for help." So when we lament, we cry out to God. Ultimately, we recognize that we have no other choice but to trust Him. Have you been there when you're like, you know what, Lord, I've got no other choice but to trust you? And in that moment where we fully give ourselves to Christ, we encounter God's comfort and the faithfulness of His character. And that's what hope brings. We recognize the certainty of God's love. And even if we don't feel it, even if we don't see it, we know it is there. God's love is certain. God's love is certain. Despite what you're feeling, despite what's going on in your life, we can hold on to the fact that God's love is certain. And because of that, we can trust Him. We can trust Him with everything we're going through. We can trust Him with our life. We can trust Him with our death. We can trust Him with our sickness. We can trust Him with our sorrow, with our anger, with our questions, with our doubts. We can trust in God. So please remember those four steps in your prayer life today. Four steps. Turn to God. Complain. And ask Him questions. And ultimately, trust Him. That is the process of lamenting. It's interesting. You know, children do this intuitively. Children do this intuitively. As I said about my testimony before, God has still been faithful because He's given me three boys. And I love them to bits. But do you know what? Even if God is faithful, even if He didn't bless me with those three children. Do you know? God has been my rock and He will hold me through. But children, and one thing that I love about when God gives you something, God's given me children and I can see so much about how we should be with God through our kids. Because they do it intuitively. If my children are hurt, or even if I take something from them, or if I tell them off, they naturally do these four steps. They turn to you and run and they cry. And then they complain. "Daddy, daddy, you took my toy." Or, "Daddy, I'm hungry." Or, "I'm sad." "You're not listening, daddy." And then they ask the questions. "Why did you take that? Why won't you make me happy? Why won't you give me some food?" And then, even in their distress, what do they want? "I don't like you, daddy." "Oh, you didn't do that, daddy." They want to be embraced and comforted. So I'm like, wow. The children know how to lament. They know how to be real. We somehow lose that when we get older. We try to be all polite and nice and we hold it in. But the kids, they tell you as it is. But they still want to be embraced by their father. Let's be like little children to God and run to our Father. Say, "Lord, I don't like that you took that away from me, that you took that person away from me. Why did you do this? But please just hold me." That's my prayer for us this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, it's not easy. This world is not easy. But Lord, I know that you are faithful over all things. Even the hard, the dark times in our life. Help us to not back away from you, even in times of our grief, pain, and sorrow. Help us instead to lean into you and to trust you, even when we do not understand your ways. Lord, please keep my head above the waters of anguish and keep my feet from slipping off the ground of truth. Help me to see you in these hard moments and to glorify you in my response. Help me to draw close to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.